Keep 100% of your claim. G4 Claims.
If you've been hurt in a road accident that wasn't your fault, you should really talk to G4 Claims first. Unlike road accident solicitors, we don't charge you for our services, which could see you better off. To keep 100% of your compensation, have a chat with Nicole and the team. You'll be glad you did. Search online for G4 Claims.
Keep 100% of your claim. G4 Claims.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Celtic the Thunder podcast. It's the big number. It's the Celtic number. It's 88th episode. 88 of the podcast, which begs the question, which famous number 88s have we had? Pull on the hoops.
Get a hooper.
Hey, you're dying for that. All 87 episodes have led to this. Who else?
Could do it in chronological if you want.
Ibu Kouassi, he was
and
one.
Juranovic.
Just, I forgot about Juranovic, actually. I feel like, is there one that's like just slipped her mind? I feel like there's like one.
Check.
Aye, type it in. I feel like there's one other player who's surely worthy the 88. And it's
Jack Eachin or something.
And then we're just going to be like, oh God, we forgot. Go on the transfer market. They've got it good.
Yeah, it's loading, mate. It's
loading. It's a Wi-Fi. Well, while Ryan loads and looks for episode or number 88s, Lizard one, here we go.
Got them all.
Got them all. 3 of 3. Well done, lads.
We've got a wee bit of a blank before the next one. So.
Aye, we're nearly at the end. That's us. Nearly finished.
Final countdown.
What am I going to do? How are we going to start each episode? Welcome back to the G4 Claims Studio. Welcome back, Kieran Olds. Hello, it's been a while.
I know, it actually is. I was actually checking that. It was just before the cup final, wasn't it? So the cup final preview, which would have been over a month ago.
So our old manager was here.
How much has happened?
No much has happened.
Whatever.
Oh boy. Brendan Rodgers is back.
It's like that bit at the start of The Walking Dead when Rick Grimes gets up.
Never watched it.
Well, I've only watched like first two episodes or something. He's up. And he's just woke up and it's like an apocalypse. So
right, well, there you go. The apocalypse has started. Kieran, I've not even introduced you, Ryan, but I'm going to hoard it.
Mate.
Because I need to get the first... Everybody's choking to hear. Brendan Rodgers is back. What's your thoughts?
I mean, I was pretty happy with it, to be honest. Because, I mean, maybe at first when you heard Brendan Rodgers, everybody had to be dismissive of him. Maybe not you, Ryan, because you were an advocate for the get-go.
Yes, thank you.
I mean, like, as the candidate list emerged, you're like, right... Rodgers is by far and away the best candidate available, and the fact that we went out and got him, I thought was quite a big statement, to be honest. I feel like it's kind of similar the way he came in the first time. It was a big statement getting Rodgers. I feel like it's an even bigger statement getting him in again, because we could have maybe left the door open a wee bit to the other side of the city if we appointed a manager that wasn't as such a high calibre as Rodgers. So I think everybody's pretty happy with it. I think you'd be hard pushed to try and find somebody still calling him.
I feel like everybody's just kind of swayed now, aren't they? Like,
we were saying if Rodgers was to come in, it would take a couple of wins to get everybody back.
It took us a couple of words.
that 10-minute interview, see anybody. The interview and then 24 hours later or under 24 hours later with the press conference, I feel like anybody that was sitting on the fence were like, oh my God, he's doing it again.
He's got his hook, line and sinker again.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute, because this is the first podcast we've done all together since he's done the press conferences, his interviews, etc, etc. We've got quite a bit to catch up on. On that note, Ryan McGinley, hello, welcome.
Thank you very much. I thought you were going to forget.
No, I had it in my mind the whole time. When you started talking, I was actually like, well, he's just going to start speaking now. But,
I appreciate it.
How you doing?
Things are good, yeah.
Graduation tomorrow.
It will already be done. Will it be done by
then? Well, this will probably be up about midday or something, so.
Jeez, what does that say about the journalism world? I know, next year. You know, it's the new breeder then, you know.
God help everybody else.
But no, things are good in the Celtic world. Writing about Celtic every day, can't complain. Good place to be. I know we obviously had the Jota news. We'll get on to that. But I think there's far more positives than negatives at this point in time.
Yeah, I think that you could argue that maybe there's... I don't know, I feel there's a lot of overreactions right now within the support. Some people, about people leaving and signings and yada yada, but it's just all part of football. Things change, and certainly that's what Celtic's going through at the minute. We've got a long list of topics for today, ladies and gents. We've got our quizzes, we've got our Twitter questions, so bear with us. We'll try and keep it wrapped up nicely for you, but... where do we begin? We've touched on it, so let's talk about Brendan Rodgers a wee bit, because we've got quite a bit to catch up on. He has been formally introduced to the Celtic fans. It's a bit of old news now. It was a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, I was there at the press conference as well. It was good, Ryan, wasn't it?
But enough about the handshake.
I still don't wash the horn and all that part. it was a good introduction. I think that he's went about things probably the best way he could have. None of this dancing around the past, none of the patter, just right into business, and it's looking like an optimistic future for us.
Yeah, and I feel like that's coming off the players as well. Obviously, we'll talk about the contract renewals. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves talking about Brendan Rodgers just now. But he's made it very clear in all his interviews thus far that the achievements last season, the achievements 4 or 5 weeks ago, that's all they are now. They're achievements, and now Celtic are now moving into this new era under Brendan Rodgers. He wants to paint his own picture of how this Celtic team's going to work. He's back. I still really can't get my head around it that he's back. I didn't expect him to be back this quickly. I thought he would manage us again at one point. He always left that door open. He'd said that in previous interviews when he was at Leicester. He did leave that door open. But the way it happened, we were all quite down about Ange Postecoglou leaving. But as soon as that was starting to materialise, you can feel the buzz about the place. You're like, and getting an elite manager back.
Just kept going with everyone.
And I think he smashed it in every single media interaction that he's had so far. The 10-minute interview, as we mentioned before, was absolutely tremendous.
Yep.
I thought there was so many wee tidbits of things that you can take out of that. He's been given assurances. You can tell the recruitment strategy is so much better. He's talking about players that are there. He's talking about the squad that he's inheriting. And in the press conference, he got everything right. He said all the right things. Mm-hmm. Addressing the fans outside, he said all the right things. I think he's.
We seem to be dancing near the fact this is, I'll see you at my 3 years.
I guarantee. I'll never. It was so funny because, like, we were sitting in the media room while the other press conference was going on in one of the suites. So they had it on in the screen for us, and just he's like, I guarantee I'll be here 3 years, and everybody in the media room just went, oh, and like, I don't know if I'm about yous, but that was my reaction.
When he said that, I feel there's a lot of jaws on the floor, because, I mean, I'm not going to believe it.
There's no point believing it anymore, is there?
Nah, absolutely no point.
I've got to believe it at this point. He can't afford not to be telling the truth, unless...
Well.
Incredible circumstances were to come through, like a Liverpool or something, to come back in. And I think he's staying for the 3 years. I'm willing to get my heart broken again, God, but he's staying for the 3 years.
Finley went down the same path as Brendan. Kieran, I'll come at you, your reactions to his first sort of interactions with the fans, but also I wanted to touch specifically on what Ryan kind of alluded to there in terms of assurances and differences. Every word that he said seemed like there was a massive difference from when he left the club. Now he's coming into a club that's probably got a significantly better squad, you could argue, and one that he wants to get even better to challenge in Europe. What was the vibe that you got from him in the press conference in regard to how we move forward and what's next for the club?
I mean, as McGinley said, it's just that he seems assured in everything, but I was thinking to myself that when you're saying that, like, the very fact he took a job, I think, spoke volumes of the fact that he would have been getting these assurances. You didn't need to hear what he had to say, because there was no way he was going to come back under the way things were in 2019 when he left. There was reasons to to his departure as well, but I think, as you were saying, he's coming into a different Celtic side, I think, not even playing wise, but just in the boardroom and that, everything seems to be running a lot smoother, and I'm hopeful that he's getting the tools that he needs this time, because if we never backed him the first time round, then we showed that we can back a manager well, like we did with Ange.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason why somebody like Brendan Rodgers shouldn't be coming in and getting the same, if not more, backing. Because, as we talked about, he's a really high calibre a manager.
You talk about the tools that he needs to keep in place. Let's start very quickly about some of the tools that he has been given, because it was a massive announcement. We didn't even get a touch on this in the podcast, I don't think, the last one. John Kennedy staying, Gavin Strachan staying, Harry Kewell staying. The whole team are staying. They've chose to stay with Brendan Rodgers. Do you think, Kieran, that also speaks volumes about what maybe Celtic's vision is and how these guys now want to sign up for the next step of that? Because a lot of people thought and just presumed they were out the door. John Kennedy was apparently going to be the assistant to Ange, and now he's here. It kind of, it's encouraging stuff.
I know, when you've got guys like John Kennedy, who's been a brilliant servant to Celtic over the years, finally getting the chance to go down to England. I mean, obviously, he could have went with Rodgers the first time run. He stayed. And then Ange has gone to Tottenham. So you're thinking, surely to God, he leaves with him. Even people like Gavin Stratton, who have only been here for how many years now? So, like, these guys, you were expecting to jump ship with them, because you couldn't really blame them if a guy had gone down making their money, doing better for their family, but they've obviously invested in what's happening at Celtic, and I think Brendan Rodgers have probably spoke to them and have bought into the vision that we're talking about, because there has been a lot of talk here. It's not been your standard appointment. He's talking about progressing in Europe and that. Like, it seems like they've got a real state intent behind the words they're saying, and I think the club should hopefully be following that direction. I'm hoping, as we said, all the tools are there for him. Hopefully get him some good signings. I think a lot of people are starting to get a wee bit panicky on Twitter about transfers and that. Keep in mind we're only a few weeks into.
I mean, it's July now, isn't it? So that's the world is now free to do whatever they like. But we're like, you know, it's the 7th, the time this is, it'll be the 7th of July. It's just, you know, there's still a long way to go here. I don't feel like it's the need for panic. We're going to come on to it, but don't
feel like it's the panic station. Some people seem to think we're in a rebuild or something.
I know. I could maybe stretch to the term, like, renovation. Like, we're a couple of players, maybe.
But it's not like when Ange came in, we had to get hundreds of players in rapid, because we had to try and build a core squad together going into the season. He's inherited a squad that I've always shot of, but I mean, for the most part, it's still there. Like,
Kyogo signed a contract, Maida signed a contract.
But he's not coming into a team where he has to build for the ground up. He's got solid foundations and he can put his own mark, like his own spin on the team. But I think the core group of players are going to stay the same anyway. I don't think there's going to be any major rehaul. And I just don't understand the.
It's typical on social media.
No, but it's because they're seeing Rangers signing these players, and I'm like, you don't know anything about them.
No.
The difference is Rangers have to sign these players because they fell behind last
season. It's like, I think people are forgetting that the shoe is on the other foot for where we were a few years ago. Rangers are going through what we went through in regards to a full overhaul, new manager wanting to do his thing, bring in his own players. That's what we did with fans. Now they're doing it. So why? It's not about, you know, reacting to what they do. Right. It's about being reasonable.
See, I mean, we got our business done really early last year, but obviously we couldn't really get that the exact same this time around with a new manager coming in. Obviously, the recruitment, it's not completely out of Rodgers's, like, grasp. Obviously, he's got a merry say in it now, I'd imagine, but I mean, the recruitment system at Celtic's been pretty much in place for the past couple of years now, and you've got the faith in the recruitment now. Because, I mean, obviously, you had your video yesterday, and I'd done the wee tier list of Rodgers signs the first time round.
It's the most depressing video I've ever made.
Honestly, you're talking about, it's baffling how well he done. Like, I mean,
it's a credit to him.
I mean, obviously, you've got some brilliant players that came in, like Edward and Dembele and even Sinclair the last couple of seasons, but you look at some of the shite that came in, like, the amount of money would be wasted. It's ridiculous.
I don't want to think about it. But he's been, right, and that's one of the things he spoke on quite a lot in those opening press conferences. He spoke a lot about Mark Lawwell in particular. He brought his name up a good few times. And that's the thing. You're already seeing this recruitment team in action, because one of the, and we'll come on to talk about him probably, one of the players we're in for is Yang from South Korea, Yang Hyung-jun. And that is evidently part of the system that's in place from beforehand. Not just a Rodgers thing or an Ange thing. It's a whole squad. It's a whole team thing now. So it's a good link up, and it will certainly help Rodgers out.
It seems as if that link or that branch is now stabilised, regardless if Postecoglou was there or not. Obviously, he's left to join Tottenham Hotspur. So it's great that it's probably coming from Mark Lawwell now. That is the link between. He worked for, what, 10 years in the City Group. I know he had that second name, he had the Lawwell second name, so that'll get him to certain places, but you don't stay for 10 years in the City Group unless you're doing a really good job. So he obviously done a really good job there, and now that Asian connection is still there. It's brilliant. It looks as if, we're talking about it just now, it looks like as if Yang will happen. Even talk about the players that have decided to stay at the club, in Maeda and Kyogo, that further keeps that connection going. You're hoping that maybe, and it's very much an if at this point, if Hatate stays, and you can keep that going even further. But it's good to see that we've not completely just abandoned that strategy, because the manager that brought in that strategy in the first place has left the building. Mm-hmm. It's great that it's getting kept on. You need continuity, regardless of how people feel about Ange Postecoglou. You still need a continuity from one manager to the next, and it's great that this is the continuity. Mm-hmm. Between that and the coaching staff as well, it's great to see the same faces. I wrote a piece saying that we should let Kennedy and Keogh go, but I'm of the opinion that if Brendan Rodgers wants them there, then that's all good for me. Anything that Rodgers wants at this point, you keep this guy happy.
What Rodgers wants, Rodgers
can. It's pure weird, but a bit of wife swap with Chris Davies and
John Kennedy. It's hard, isn't it?
And Jedinak is, Jedinak makes more sense.
He's Australian, isn't he? Yeah. So like, I get that.
Probably for Spurs, to be fair.
Davies is a proper weird one, though. Like, the fact that it's like wife swap.
It looks a wee bit, I don't know how, wife swap is a really good way to sum it up.
We should film it both ways, see how they get on.
Maybe that's what they'll do. Send
a film crew down there. Wife swap, CSC.
Jake Brendan Rodgers comes up with a tear running down his face.
It's a weird one because I saw that he was getting linked to the Swansea City job.
Who, Davies?
Yeah, Davies, but he's obviously taking the assistant manager job at Spurs. It could be a better job for him down the line, but he's obviously been told, Postecoglou's been told that Chris Davies is a smooth operator, and maybe it's a get your own back at Rodgers for keeping Kennedy.
Do you know what I seen earlier today that I completely forgot happened, and who knows, it might have been foreshadowing. Remember that photo at Hampden a couple of months ago when Rodgers was there and he was giving the wee thumbs up? Do you think that had anything to do with anything going on?
I don't know. I mean, it definitely never came out of the blue by Ange got to Tottenham, because I remember in uni, like a couple of months prior, the links came out and it was just sort of brushed off, because I remember I'd done a mad thing for like a radio bulletin on it. Aye. Like talking about it and how I didn't think Ange would leave, but because I was invested in the Celtic project. But I mean, it might have very well been going on in the background, because I mean, Tottenham were without a manager for a long while,
like, before they appointed him. I think they just reached 100 days just around that mark anyway, so I think they sacked that Italian guy,
Stellini,
I forgot his name, in March, I think they sacked him. So
they tried
a long
to go for Arne Slot.
Anyway, who cares? Fuck them.
It's not a Spurs podcast.
Go on, Gravy Guzzler. You can do it, I'm joking. I don't hold any bitterness. Best of luck, Ange. Season starts soon. Right, before we get on to half-time quizzes and all that, let's talk a little bit about what has been going on at the club then, and this can kind of tie into recruitment and such. But one of the biggest stories of the week, and we'd be foolish to skip over it, was the departure of our beloved Jota. He's gone. Money talks, bullshit walks, the reported deal somewhere between £25 and £30 million, and a contract for Jota that could reach as high as £190,000, roughly £10 million a year,
tax free.
I wish I was him. Tell you, I've been a Celtic fan all my life, but if I was getting offered that, I'd be.
I really don't care. If I was getting offered £190,000 a week,
I would be off. See you later. Goodbye. I could be the captain.
I've seen somebody on Twitter try to say I wouldn't take that. Absolute shite.
The amount of comments, and I'm respectful of my commenters. I don't like to argue. I let them have their opinion. Every opinion's valid, but there are some people who are trying to hang this flag of pride as if they're like, oh, never in a million years I'd play for Celtic for £10 grand a week before I'd play for them for 190. Pish.
I'm going to just hold my hands up and say I would leave to Saudi Arabia for nearly £200 grand a week.
I for one welcome our Saudi Arabian overlords.
This is going to annoy people, but I would be annoyed at Jota.
I said that. I'd be questioning his sanity
if you never took 190.
And people are giving him all the nonsense about, I don't want to say nonsense.
Has he posted a goodbye yet?
No, he's not actually, no.
He'll post some cryptic photo.
something trendy. But a lot of people as well giving him a lot of dirt for like ruining ambition and no being a proper footballer because he's away to Saudi Arabia.
Like that's his career over a couple of years there, and then he'll definitely get a move to somewhere.
Exactly.
Fatso done the same in China.
That's right.
He was the same age when he was it Zenit St. Petersburg, or was it somewhere before then? He went to China for
and
a couple of years,
went
to Dortmund. And he's a very rich man. He's playing football basically to keep fit. He doesn't need to worry about that for an occupation.
The man eats well.
Do you know, the thing is, Jota is 24. It's not as if he's going in his prime. His prime will be in 3 years' time when he's 27, when he does leave the club, unless he signs an extension. Mm-hmm. It makes sense to go make your money and then come back maybe a better player. By that point, the league might have improved as well.
It's got to be. Look at this time next year, the Saudi Arabian League will probably have
could be a trailblazer.
You don't know who's going to be playing there. It could be one of the best leagues.
Jota went to the team with Benzema.
Benzema and Kante, and who knows the manager. So
Ian Cathro's the coach.
Well, you look at that. You suddenly go to a club like that, and this is, we're going to talk about in regards to Celtic in a moment, right? But you look at Jota here for a moment. He's won everything he can here. He's now going over. He's playing with some of the world's best. He's making absolute bank. But you know, suddenly when you do leave that club, you now have all the good work. If you play well, anyway, you're going to have all the good words from players like Benzema, Kante, all the endorsements you need under the sun. Nuno is a good coach, probably has a lot of connections. The eyes of the Portuguese national team are on that league firmly now, with Ronaldo and Ruben Neves playing all that. This is it. This is a really sensible move for Jota. Might not have been this time 2 years ago, but it is now.
I don't even think of that, because I mean, Neves and that will still be getting called up to the squad. And exactly. See him in the same league. I never even.
The Portuguese press are all out of that league at the minute. And that's what Jota needs.
They share the same agent as well, Ruben Neves, Jota and Ronaldo. They all share. Is it Jorge Mendes, a super agent?
Jota's agent. Aye.
Yep. Well, he signed up a lot of the Benfica boys. You see that? That's just smart investment.
Good businessman.
Yeah.
Good businessman.
Because you just know that they're going
to. Do you need to be qualified to be a football agent?
I don't really think you do.
I mean, like, Harry Kane's got his brother, and like, his only client is Harry Kane.
Like, I remember, it's not quite agent, but I remember Spencer FC was like Vincent Kompany's personal assistant for years.
Is he?
Aye, that was his introduction to football before, and then he quit. To do YouTube. He went up to Vincent. He was like, listen, YouTube's doing well for me, mate. That's apparently the reason that he was FIFA Ninja, was because that was when he was with Kompany and he couldn't reveal his identity. So then he was like, right, I'm going to go full time with the YouTube, see you later, Vincent, and became Spencer FC. Good on him, I suppose. But daft side note, he's gone. It's a lot of money though for Celtic. It's a huge move. It's now a Scottish record transfer for outgoing.
If it's 30 million euros, then that's just over 25. Well, it was nearly 26 million.
So
I think it's like 25.
Huge amount of money, Kieran, that Celtic have made. It's a shame to lose a player of that quality. But, I mean, we had this conversation in the group chat the other day. Players like Larsson have left us. I'm sure life goes on without Jota.
See, it's a kick in the balls, to be fair, because Jota obviously looked like the level we needed for Champions League. And obviously, everybody's going to want is to go out and sign a player of that level. But see, a lot of people seem to think that the answer is just throwing like £15 million at a player. I'm not saying we don't do that. If it's the right player, do it. But can you just imagine the pressure that the player that we break the record for over like by about £5 million? If we were to go and spend on that rider or whatever, if we spend £15 million on that, fans are trying to tell me he won't get fucking Doug's abuse if he doesn't play amazing for the get-go. I would not want that pressure on my shoulders, because you've seen big fees get put on players and they've been god awful. All world football. I mean, which to say, it's a cauldron here. It's a pure goldfish bowl. If you don't perform to that level straight away, and we've spent record money on somebody, everybody will be on his back. And I'm not saying it's justified, but I'm just saying that's how it's going to happen.
See, that was the good thing with Jota, obviously, because we signed him in loan, and then we knew what we were getting when we spent the £6 million. But we don't have that same luxury right now, so it's a massive gamble.
Because I mean, everybody wants to go. I would love us to go out and spend big money. I'd love us to take that next step up and start spending there, so we're not as restricted. But that's the risk you take. You could go out and spend big money on somebody, and it doesn't work yet. So it's a massive gamble. And I've seen a lot of talk. I'll probably come on to whether or not we'll break the record this summer. And that a lot of people seem to think that we need to because of the money we've got in. I reckon this probably won't change the recruitment that was already planned this summer. I don't think, because we've got this money, they're going to say, oh, fuck it.
Aye.
Unless somebody was already in the pipeline, they'll think they're just out of reach, now we can afford them. We're not going to just go out and... Everybody wants a marquee signing.
It's not like you're going in career mode and then putting, like, minimum overall 83, go for him.
No, but everybody wants a marquee signing. It's always a nice feeling, but I don't think we're going to go out away just to do it. Like, for the sake of it, I think if the right player comes up, aye. But I just wouldn't want to be that player with the pressure they're going to get heaped on them. Like, I think it'll be, it could, I really can't put into words how bad I think that could go.
There's no point in going out and signing a guy and just being performative and just doing it for the sake of breaking the record. Got to fit in the system. I'd much rather Celtic go and sign two £8 million players and a £16 million player and hedge their bets in different parts. They're going to make profits in other areas, probably going to make profit off a Frimpong sell on. We've got loads of assets littered all over the team at the moment. I think now We have signed two projects, and we'll probably get on to talk about them in Home and Tellio, mm-hmm. but I want us to get maybe two or three Champions League-ready players, mm-hmm. yeah. players that are going to just accelerate this team. And that one of them has to be a defensive midfielder for me. You've got to get a destroyer in there.
A destroyer?
Not a destroyer, like a graceful destroyer, like, if you get what I mean. Somebody that will put out fires, Batista. But also can play... What?
Like Batista.
A beautiful destroyer.
I get Batista right in the middle of the park. But it's a tough one, because Jota leaving is undoubtedly like, right, okay, we... Getting a player to match him, like, who knows? Tellio might come in, and he Jota came in with like this is the thing that pisses me off a little bit about like Celtic Twitter and social media and all the rest of it. Everybody's gone on. Oh, I've seen a few people like, oh, Tellio was nowhere near the level of Jota. Blah blah blah. Like, nobody fucking knew what Jota was going to be when he came in. There's for all we know, Tellio comes in, he's just as good. He might not be, but it's you can't just suddenly disregard anybody. Like, Jota came in as an under 21s player at Benfica who was playing for Real Valladolid the year before. Yep. I mean, if we went and signed another player from Real Valladolid now, they'd probably be like, oh, this is it. This
have
the
you
guy
seen the South Korean winger?
Oh, aye.
It's exactly that. Uh-huh. People said, I think it's got like two goals and assists or something. So, like, it's shocking. Look at Jota's.
Jota was minging before he came to Celtic.
No, he's playing in a better league than that. Yeah. Like, this boy that they're signing for South Korea, his team's like fighting relegation.
Part of that definitely is though the fact that Benfica is just a more exotic team in it. Like, people are like, oh, he's playing for the Benfica Academy, whereas Gangwon doesn't quite carry the same.
I just don't get the pure, like, it seems like a pure snobbery again. I'm like, this, it's pure like shades of like the summer of 2021 when we signed Kyogo mm-hmm. and that, and like uncertainty about these leagues and that. Surely put a bit of faith in the recruitment.
I think, do you know what's really no help though? The fact that the last couple, like, haven't really came on to too strong a game. I think that's maybe like, but then I'm like, you've got to remember, like, at the tail end of a season, and think of the guys that have been a success. Yeah. Think of your Kyogos, think of your Hitatis, like, and we just suddenly forgetting we signed these guys from the same pool.
Hitati not benefited for the fact they came in and they were instant starters, mm-hmm. whereas you look at players like Iwata and Kobayashi and even O, like, they weren't getting really for ages.
The Iwata one, I feel as if Iwata's been lumped in with Kobayashi.
I know, I've seen that a lot recently.
And all of a sudden, people were saying, I don't want us to take him permanently. I'm like, well, first of all, it doesn't really work like that because we've got an obligation. Right? He's our player. Yeah. The next day, there was pictures of him in training.
And people were screenshotting and saying, get this guy out, sell this guy.
I understand the grievances towards Kobayashi because he didn't look convincing in that run of games. Iwata, apart from the one mistake he made against St Mirren, he's not put a foot wrong. He strolled the cup final. I know we were playing against Inverness, but I think in every game he's looked really, really good.
I think he's been fine.
I feel like the two players have been lumped together because maybe, I don't know, maybe they've came from the same place, they were in the same transfer window, but I feel like it's really harsh. I know I was just talking about us getting a holding midfielder, but I still think Iwata can do a job.
I think he'll benefit for getting a full pre-season under him. Hitati was brilliant for us, and then sort of petered off like that first like 6 months he was here. Then in that pre-season last year, I remember watching him against teams like Blackburn and Norwich. I'm like, I know it's just against these English jobbers, but like, it looked unreal. And then he went on to have a fucking amazing season for us.
And that's you're right, Kieran. The word that you use, snobbery, is like, I feel like a lot of our fans online are now doing the thing that we were giving grief to the Rangers fans for when we were signing these players. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, do you not realise you're just doing the same thing now? But that's what I mean. Like, the point I'm trying to make it around Jota, like, we will find somebody. It's not like this is the end of the world. No. Better players have come and gone, and players who have been vastly more important to the team have come and gone. But it is now about just making sure you take that next step to ensure this European ambition is met, Ryan, because you need to, and it doesn't need to be a £15 million statement, as you and Kieran have touched on, but if we are serious about it, you want to see the money invested in areas to actually now challenge that European dream.
Yeah, and even that point that we're saying is, I don't want us breaking the transfer record for the sake of it. I do still think, on the other side, in terms of Jota, you're going to need to replace him with somebody mm-hmm. either alone with an option to buy or a permanent signing. It can't be a free transfer. I don't think he'll, you know, see would wash with the fans at all. As a number two option, yes.
Let's talk about it very quickly. I'm glad you brought it up. What's your thoughts on this El Yunusi stuff?
Take him as a second choice. Well, actually, does he have a space now? He couldn't be the first choice for me. He couldn't.
Nah, because I feel like he's not going to come in or be a starter.
And now...
Because he'll definitely go... He'll find a club that will take him as a starter, but I just think Celtic's the right move for him now.
And Celtic have just signed another... or renewed the contract of another left winger. So
I don't think he's going to come to Celtic and B. I don't think we should bother. That's been my opinion towards it. It's not like I'm
waiting. The time has passed.
Let it go. Mm-hmm. Let it go.
But I'm glad that he pulled on the Celtic jersey because there was always that what if after the Mulder performances. Remember when he tore his apart home and away, and I think that was in Dyla's last season in charge. But yeah, it's got to the point where he would demand to be first choice, and I think we need to have. I mean, I know he's 28 years old, which is not old, but I think we do need somebody younger on that side.
So
would you say Elian Ousse for me isn't he like the Champions League standard? I think
because
it was in Europa League and that it was alright, but as you said, he's 28, so it's like if you're signing somebody 28, you want them to be 28 and
Champions League
will make improve in the Champions League. And it feels like we're making Elian Ousse was shite for us, because like, I mean wasn't he a world
him.
beater, but he was good,
double digits in scoring both seasons.
So it's like he's still done alright in a very, very poor Celtic team in the 10-year-old field.
I feel like there's just more that the club can do with their money now to maybe get us on our feet.
I feel like it would be a lazy sort of transfer, to be honest.
It doesn't make sense with regards to the policy either, the transfer strategy that Celtic are now going for. Yes, there are exceptions to that rule. One very big one, in which we'll talk about probably in the next 5 minutes in terms of his contract extension, but there's players that you just don't go with that, Paul. You don't go with that strategy for. There are exceptions to the rule, but I think on the main, you need to bring in somebody that's what, ages probably 21 to 24, that you can sell on for a profit in a couple of years. It's just all about keeping the finances going.
Yep.
Yes, I think you've got to keep that balance. Get a young player out wide, but somebody that you can sell on in a couple of years as well.
So before we get into the half-time portion of the show, is there any more thoughts you want to put on the table about Jota's departure and just kind of that surrounding that with Celtic stuff? He's the only notable departure so far this summer, isn't he? Am I forgetting anybody?
Obviously Moy retired.
Oh, God, Moy retiring, eh? Forgot about that.
I kind of expected it for a while, to be honest. But
God bless him.
With the injury rumours.
That rumour wasn't going away, was it?
No. Nah. But in general, any final thoughts towards the Jota stuff?
Jota. No ill thoughts to him at all. I don't blame him for going on that move. God, some great, great memories, some massive goals, big game player. He'll be remembered very, very fondly, regardless if he puts out an Instagram farewell message or not. I know some people will hold that against him, but he's probably a bit of a busy boy just now. I hope he smashes it over there. I hope he makes lots of money, because, you know, there was not a single time when you could accuse him of not putting in 100% effort. I did say that. Complete, consummate professional, great player, shows that the model works in terms of transfers, and yeah, I wish him all the best.
Kieran, any fond thoughts that you'd like to share?
I mean, as Ryan said, he's a big game player. Popped up when we needed him most. He came into a Celtic squad that was lacking in any flair or any enjoyment to watch, and he was a main factor, I think, in sort of bringing back the spark to enjoying watching Celtic after a horrific season. So I mean, I think in our lifetimes anyway, you'll be hard pushed to find a player that had that sort of Miggy Day sort of confidence on the ball,
Flair factor.
But I mean, we're talking about I wouldn't hold any ill will at all. I mean, if you're getting offered nearly 200 grand a week, you need to go and take that. And it's not like Celtic have been shafted, like 25 million quid. I would have probably valued them more, but I don't know if that's just me being biased.
Biased in it, because there's no way any English team is going to pay.
They're not going to pay that.
I think after the Juranovic fee that we got, I was like, maybe I need to just slow down on the numbers that we get. But I just want to talk, well, just quickly, that he scored one of the most important.
No, I was going to come at you and ask for like a favourite. Would what you're going to see be your favourite Jota moment?
I think he's the most important for me.
Well, I'm going to go across the table and I'll let you start, Ryan.
Okay.
Because you were in the middle of it. I was going to ask anyway.
I think you've got to go back to the time in which this goal took place. Massive goal in Postecoglou's first season. Mm-hmm. One each at Pittodrie, and he steps up. Montgomery, I think, gets the assist, who's now moved to Fleetwood. Mm-hmm. I think it's arguably the biggest goal in Postecoglou's Celtic career.
I think you could have that conversation.
Gave us the first away win in, what, 8 months or something?
The first one since February, I think it was Valentine's Day we'd won.
It was October, that game, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were sixth place at that point.
Aye.
We needed that win to keep it going, and it was very much in the sort of balance of whether or not we were going to get it. Montgomery, I remember, also had a stinker that whole game, but that one cross that he put in, Jota went absolutely mental.
Would you say that's your favourite Jota moment?
Yeah, I think looking back on it, hindsight is a massive thing. Apart from, well, I don't want to name any other goals, but there's a few other ones.
I like Kieran.
I mean, I've got a couple, but I mean, obviously the one it's got to be is the dink in the 4-0 game.
Aye.
I mean,
that's just
one of the best technical goals I think I've seen in person. But another favourite for me, it just popped into my head, was Leverkusen.
Oh, you stole mine, man. That was going to be mine.
It's just such a clean strike of the ball, man.
Just taking your pint out, Ian. Cutting it and
but it was a pure pandemonium when that
was. I mean, despite the final result of the game, but
if you forget the rest of the game,
like that moment, that's my favourite. That's just I love it. And it was a cracking goal as well. It wasn't a good tap, and it was a good goal.
The brazen header was good as well.
Aye. Well, best of luck to you, Jota. Fair play, and go make a cash, boys.
Think about the profit as well.
Yeah,
profit right. All round.
Let's get our half time quiz. I don't even know what key I'm gonna have a peek here. Can you read the numbers? How long will we be gone?
37 minutes.
Oh my life, this is barely half time, right? We're gonna have to fly through the next couple of topics after this. Let's get into the half time quiz. And it's one of the Ryan gave us Craig McGinley and Kieran all tease today, which, as you all know, I give you a clue, you guess, you get it wrong, you're frozen out. Yada yada yada, etc. etc. Yes.
The names of the games never really help us. You need to.
Well, on that note, big shout out to Kieran, who obviously makes all of our quizzes. I was telling Kieran in the car, Ryan, he is going all out for the next season.
Aye.
All out. A lot of the games. We're going to have new quizzes. We're going to have new games. We're going to have fat foes. We're going to have tic tac toes. We're going to have guess the commentary line. We're going to have.
Oh, wow.
We've got tons in the pipelines. And I'm going to get my arse and gear with making graphics and sound effects and all that for them. So,
love that.
So, right. Okay, he's ready for today's. The clue is for today's that. Well, actually, the clues are in the whole point. He's giving these clues. Right, he's ready for clue one. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have been managed by Brendan Rodgers, Roy Keane, and Neil Warnock. So I have been managed by Brendan Rodgers, Roy Keane, and Neil Warnock. That's your first one. Remember, you can guess if you just want to, but you'd be frozen out for the next one.
I need another clue.
Straight on to the second clue, aye. Okay, second clue. I have played with Robert Earnshaw, Aidan McGeady, and John Lundstrom. So I've been managed by Brendan Rodgers, Roy Keane, and Neil Warnock, and I have played with Robert Earnshaw, Aidan McGeady, and John Lundstrom.
Interesting.
Once again, if you don't want to hazard a guess, we can go into the next clue, unless you feel like you want a pop. Nah.
It's got to be another one.
Nah, next clue. I have played my football in Asia and the United States.
Mm.
So obviously outside of Celtic, he's played other places, but he's had spells in Asia and the United States in this clue. Don't know if that helps you, if you can think anybody. You're definitely going to get it on the last clue, but you've got two more after this.
I need another one.
I know, I'm drawing a blank
still. See, because the last time we did this, I get my fingers burnt, so I don't want to go all
that
in.
Was a very interesting thing you done with your hands there, Brian.
What was it?
You don't know, you just said you were doing something with your hands, your fingers, and you watch it, boy. And this clue, this is the one before the last clue. So what I will say is, if you feel like you can get it, it might be worth hazarding a guess. Obviously, you'd freeze yourself out if you get it wrong, but I think the last one's going to make it a race for who says it first.
Okay.
So this is your second last clue. I have scored in an Old Firm derby at Hampden. So, I've been managed by Brendan Rodgers, Roy Keane, and Neil Warnock. I have played with Robert Earnshaw, Aidan McGeady, and John Lundstrom. I have played my football in Asia and the United States, and I have scored in an Old Firm derby at Hampden.
Is this a Celtic player?
Yeah, it is a Celtic player, yes. No point in the quiz, Ryan, isn't it, to be a former Celt? If you'd want to go into the last
Neil Warnock.
Clue.
So, what are the managers? Neil Warnock.
Neil Warnock, Brendan Rodgers, and Roy Keane.
Roy Keane.
At Hampden?
At Hampden. Kieran's face says it all. This is a difficult one. I wouldn't get this up to this point.
I still don't think it's going to be a race on the last one.
Oh, trust me, it should be.
Neil Warnock.
It's all right, Ryan. You don't need to take all day, mate.
Nah, every time I can Neil Warnock, right,
he's ready for the last clue.
I'm gonna die for 3 points.
Are you ready?
Yeah, right. Go for it.
Okay. Your last clue. I have a great affiliation with men from New Zealand called Chris.
Chris Kevin.
That's not the answer, no. If that was your answer.
No, I was just saying
I have a great affiliation.
So darn a day.
Yay! Well done.
I was actually trying to remember who scored in that 2-0 against them in the League Cup 2009.
So, just to run through it very quickly, Darn the Day was managed by Brendan Rodgers at Reading, Roy Keane at Ipswich, and Neil Warnock at Leeds. He played with Robert Earnshaw at Toronto, Aidan McGeady at Celtic and Ireland, and John Lindstrom at Blackpool. God, Darn the Day got a boot, didn't he?
No.
He played in Ukraine as well.
He played for Mumbai City in Asia, Toronto. In the, I know Toronto's not in the United States before any of these get cocky, right? They play in the MLS. Cup final against Rangers in 2009. And then finally, of course, he was caught winching Chris Killen, which to this day I still need explained. But aye. Caught Winch and Chris Killen in the airport. So there you go. There
was an airport?
I think it was an airport. It looked like an airport to me.
It was like a rom-com soon who runs from it again.
Well, see, they're both in like their trackies, aren't they?
I don't know. I thought it was after a night out or something.
Pull it up. Where's our producer? pull it up.
pull up Darn the Day, Winch and Chris Killen.
Type that into Google. I don't know.
Don't type Chris Killen into Google.
How?
He's been done.
Has he?
Mm-hmm.
When?
That's 3 years ago.
Oh. Fordwa?
I can't remember. It's
we don't want to make false allegations on the show, but wow, then you're right. Well, don't look up Chris Killen then, apparently. I think we're going to say he done a porno or something.
No, it's one of those ones, check his personal life on Wikipedia.
You love a Wikipedia search, don't you?
I do, I can go on those
right, before we get on to the full-time quiz and the Twitter questions, let's very quickly discuss some of the other big news that came out this week. Kyogo's got a new 4-year deal.
That's massive.
Massive. That's, and Dyson Maeda, a couple of hours before we got in here tonight, he was signing a new contract too. Kieran, your thoughts?
I mean, with the Kyogo one, we've sat and spoke about it before, about if there was any player you would have maybe thought, because his age, would have stayed here for his prime years, it would have been Kyogo, because I feel like it was a sort of now or never this summer. And the fact we've signed up for the contract, I think, is huge, because that's surely the statement of intent that he's here for as long as he can do a job. I mean, unless he has an incredible season next year and some team takes a punt on him. But I mean, even in that instance, we've secured ourselves by getting him a long-term deal. So I think it's massive, because we talk about players no staying here for long periods of time anywhere. One's a real quality, but you're hoping that this contract should be Kyogo at Celtic now, because I feel like a lot of teams aren't going to pay the money we're going to be asking from him, has that many years left in his contract, cause his age.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of hoping that leaves us in the perfect spot where we can have him for as long as we want him, because until his legs still working, I think until he loses that pace, I think he's going to be an asset up front for us. And defenders in the league can't handle him like the past 2 seasons. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen a lot of people, like Rangers fans, seemingly happy that we've signed up and we're not signing somebody else. I'm like, are you joking?
Never learn.
The amount of goals he scored against them.
Optimistically speaking, as well, and maybe hypothetically speaking, you could say, that guarantees him here till he's 32.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're the prime years of his career. He's scored 50 odd goals in 80 odd games.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about someone now who seriously is here to A, secure that best since Larson thing that we mm-hmm. always talk about. But you're talking about somebody who's coming in, not to, I don't want to go see as far as challenge Henrik Larson, but somebody who could have a record that is just as impressive by the time he's done.
The conversations can start if he stays and he keeps up the same goal scoring record that he has done. You've got to remember, his goal scoring record the season before was good, but he was out injured for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Last season, I think we've seen the start of how good Kyogo can be.
Yeah.
We're now going to get him. I don't think he's going to go anywhere now. Now, I think as long as he is wanted at Celtic, then he is going to stay here. And in the prime of his career, if they bring in, if they after that trial period and they bring in that offside rule, mm-hmm. he'll score double.
Because
they're just, that has, when he's options. Offside, his runs are so good. If there is daylight between what he can do and he can just be just that, I know he would be offside just now, with the interpretations of the rule, but if they were to change that, think about the runs that he could get and the runs he could get on the end of and goals. I'm absolutely delighted. It's like us signing a £20 million striker for me, because I think that's what his valuation is now.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
Celtic have got him for the prime of his career. Mm-hmm. I think those conversations with Larson can start.
Kieran, with him staying and obviously amongst everything that's happening with the new manager, it's also a huge show of faith, isn't it? Because obviously the manager, and I don't think anybody doubted that he was going to be the starting striker next year, but there's always that wee bit in your head that goes, right, will he be a Rodgers striker? Will he play as much? Will he do the same thing?
I think he's just too good for him. Not Rodgers to change it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think maybe this is something that Rodgers never had in his first time, a striker that offers that. Maybe that's something he's not really thought about too much in his style of play, but now he can adapt into it, because there's no point in just bringing in another striker because, oh, this fits my system better. Like, you see the results. Mm-hmm. Like, you can see how good it can be. I just think Kyogo's unreal. And just thinking back to the time when we were having the debate, I think it was in the World Cup break when everything went really quiet with Celtic, and then people started making it as if Kyogo was pish.
Is that when he went like dry for a couple of weeks?
Oh, he's not scored like since then, and then he came back for the World Cup break and scored in like near enough every game.
Do you know what really is eye-opening amongst conversations like that? It's like they've brought out this new Threads thing. I think it's just time for me to just give up social media when I think back to conversations like that. I know it's proper nuts though, because I remember it now that you see it. Like, I remember people saying, oh, maybe Kyogo's not the player we made him out to be.
And the debate that Giakoumakis was the better striker. Mm-hmm. And why was Giakoumakis the better striker? But they offered different things. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why Kyogo was starting in here, wasn't he?
One's in the MLS, one will be playing in the Champions League. I think that's all you need to say.
Now, a good point that Kieran brought up there in terms of like Rodgers adapting, etc. I made this point in my video the other day, and I want to just bring it in the podcast, see what you think. I'm not saying they're like for like players and they're the exact same, but I think there's a lot of attributes from like Jamie Vardy's game. Jamie Vardy's game. And you've got to remember, Vardy was arguably at his best before Rodgers went to Leicester, right? But the first couple of years, he was still quality for Rodgers. His movement, his pace, his finishing are the three things in his game that stand out the most, because he was fucking rapid, outran defenders, and was good at moving into these like areas where he could or couldn't be offside. Kyogo does that really, really well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people might say, like, oh, he's nothing like Dembele, Edouard, any strikers that came before him with Brendan Rodgers in charge, but evidently, Rodgers likes all kinds of strikers, right?
Yeah, you just wonder if Rodgers could potentially get a formation going that Ole and Kyogo could play in the same team, because I know that Jamie Vardy and Kelechi and Iheanacho, they both played in the same team for a couple of seasons. I know they reverted to having maybe one up front, and they played Patson Daka for the sort of last two seasons. But if there's a chance to be able to play the two of them, the two could probably play with each other so well. They've got different attributes that they could bring. I can't think of anyone better for Ole to learn off of than Kyogo. Kyogo, I think, is such a polished striker. He understands the role that he has to play, especially playing as the lone man up front. His movement is second to none. It's the best. In terms of me watching Celtic, it's arguably the best movement I've ever seen in a striker. I don't really remember Larson that much. I remember bits and bobs with him, but Kyogo just blows my mind watching him. To have him for his prime career, for the prime of his career, I think Brendan Rodgers likes working with good players at the end of the day, and I think Colin Kyogo, just a good player, is doing him a disservice, because I think he's a great player, especially in the Scottish League. He is head and shoulders the best striker in the league. He's a top level Europa League striker, if not maybe a Champions League striker. He still needs to prove himself on that stage. I think that's why he's here. I think that's why he signed a new deal. He wants to prove himself.
I think he probably has got something in his head about a bit of redemption for like the missed chances that were happening in the Champions League last year. I think a lot of players are going to be that were here last year are going to have that in their head, because it's always a what if we just took chances, because it just felt like games were getting wasted, especially the ones against Shakhtar Donetsk. Like, they ones were frustrating as fuck, because I think we could have won the both of them, especially the one in Poland. That was
annoying, that game.
Like, that left angry.
That did piss me off. That felt like a defeat, just because of how many late chances we had as well. And,
oh God, Kieran, you're pissing
me. I know. But I mean, we'll get made into this season's Champions League campaign as the weeks drag on in summer and we get closer to it. But I think just thinking about Kyogo, but it's like, I remember the first couple of games watching him, you're like, you just had the sort of feeling that he's going to be something special. Mm-hmm. And if it, as Ryan was saying, if he can keep this up, and he's committed, hopefully he's committed now with that contract, mm-hmm. his best years of his career to Celtic, he could cement himself in the club's history big exactly. time. So I think he would love that, because he seems to love it at Celtic. The way all the players speak about him as well, is like, can he speak more highly of him? So it's, I don't know, I think it's just brilliant to tie them down. And then obviously coming to my head,
not to compare Japanese players or that, but I don't think he's far off being the best ever Japanese player.
He's not at all, is he?
Like, Nakamura was great.
Nakamura will always have that advantage of the nostalgia factor.
He's the cult hero.
Say.
He's a great player as well.
Fantastic. But it's a conversation for another day.
Great to be able to have that conversation, because we'll have that body of work to talk about with Kyogo. He'll have stayed for, if he stays out the duration of his deal, which you're hoping he does a Larson and does stay out for the duration, then he'll have 6 years of a body of work to talk about.
Then he gets his move to Barcelona right at the end.
Wow.
Right, Mike as well.
Sorry, just one more thing. If there was one player I wouldn't want us to lose between Jota and Kyogo, it would have been Kyogo. I'd have been more keen on keeping Kyogo. I think he's just that important.
Right, fair. Biderstein, though, as well. 4-year contract for him, 2027. So another show of confidence in a player and obviously commitment on his part to the club. One that I didn't really expect. I didn't see that coming. But
I don't know if I was in the mindset that I thought Celtic were going to be in a rush to tie them because there wasn't any interest or something like that. But I feel like it's probably better to preempt it, because I don't think Maid is exactly going to have a honk race. I think he'll do well under Rodgers. I think he'll be utilised pretty well. And in terms of, he's not got the same sort of thing about him where we're worried we're going to lose him. I feel like he's somebody that flat goes under the radar a wee bit, and I think probably that'll be the case in terms of other clubs watching him. I'm not saying there won't be any out there, but I was saying to you in the car, Ryan, like, to me, Maeda doesn't strike me as a sort of player that's going to attract Premier League interest. Or I was saying I can maybe see him like the Bundesliga or something. I can see that, like, in the future.
Should find in the wing for Hoffenheim.
He's protecting ourselves again, but if he was to go and have an amazing season, he's tied into about 2027 now.
Yeah.
So it's all about, like, we're talking about selling players at the highest value in that. It's something that's going to be happening there the next few years. I don't think we're going to need to worry too much with teams coming in from, but as I said, it's an insurance thing.
Aye. And he's good to have, right? Aye. He's good to have.
I think
he's good to have, as if he's like some bit part player.
He's a system player. He's very much a Postecoglou system player, but I think it would cost more to replace the physical attributes that he brings to the game if you were to let him go and sign another player. Yes, he does have deficiencies in his game. They are very clear when you watch him, but I think sometimes the pros outweigh the cons with Maeda.
Sure, I'm not yawning at you, by the way. No, it's just totally didn't have a long sleep last night.
The pressing, the aggression, even the counter-pressing that goes on. You look at the stats of Maeda, they don't lie. He's so hard-working for the team every game. He's also, he doesn't get offended if he gets taken off at half-time. He just keeps the head down and he's ready for the next game. I just think he's a good egg to have around the camp. And, do you know that at the start, when Brendan Rodgers was announced, I was joking about with people saying, oh, Maeda will maybe be one of the first ones to go. But the fact that I read the comments from Rodgers and he seems happy to work with him and continue his development, because I think he will get better. He's 3 years younger than Kyogo, so they're still.
I think people forget that part. I think he does look a bit older. I think it's
the bald.
It's so weird because, like, it's so weird because, like, Kyogo looks so young, but I think Maeda looks much older, yet it's the reverse way about it.
Really weird. I'm delighted that he's stayed. I'm happy that he's settled. He'll be on a, I'm guessing, a significant wage increase. Same for Kyogo. I'd half expect Kyogo to be one of the top earners now.
Oh, he's got to be, surely.
He's just a talisman. We don't really know the ins and outs of how much players are getting paid a week, but I'm guessing it's increased. If you're taking
Jota was reportedly on 35 grand, so take that as you like.
Yeah, I think McGregor will be on 40-45k. I think for him, he's just,
nobody's going to make more than McGregor.
Because that was the whole thing about Jota, was apparently we could have triggered them from 35 to 45. So, I mean, you're probably sitting, Kyogo's probably up in that kind of area now, you'd assume.
And you'd expect Maeda to now be on, what, 15, 20, 25k a week. I'm happy that he's sticking around. I think he can definitely do a job, or numerous jobs in the team, it seems. 11 goals last season, I think it was, he scored in all competitions. I mean, he made 49 appearances, so I would expect him to get a wee bit more next season. But yeah, I'm glad that we've got somebody tied down for 4 more years. It's an asset, and it's covered now.
4 more years. I'm still on a Trump podcast. So that's that, isn't it? That's all the conversation. So, Ryan, you load up your Twitter questions. And while you do that, I don't know, Kieran, have you got a rant this week? Anything that you've got to get off your chest, anything that's annoyed you?
There was actually something in the back of my head there, but it's just pure slip. It wasn't a pure rant, it was just a point I was going to make about something, but...
Oh, find it, fish for it. Where you find it? Hope your internet starts going. I try to think. How was the last few days of the holiday after I came home?
I know, it was good. It was chill, to be honest. I mean, Split was very, very expensive.
Aye.
And like, we went to this bar called Charlie's. I think it was. But see on Google Maps, and it ranks them by like the £1 sign next to it to see if it's cheaper. Aye,
yeah.
Like the bastards, like the prices have got listed as well dearer than what it was for the 40s got put up like, a few months
right,
prior.
Right.
And you couldn't use Caird unless it was €20. It was €20 minimum. And the buckets of cocktail were €19.90.
That is actually scumbag stuff.
They know what they're doing.
Because the next cheapest thing you could get was like €6. So you've been.
Did you stay there?
And we were there for the night because it was like, I don't know. Like, I feel like there wasn't a lot of good places in Split.
God, have you got any trips this year, Ryan?
At all? My family are going holiday on Sunday, but I'm not going.
Oh, you're not going. I'm not off to.
They're going to Tenerife, their usual haunt.
I'm going to Tenerife, I've booked up Tenerife.
Have you ever been before?
No, I've never been.
Oh, unbelievable, you'll love it. But I think later on in the year, I think I'll try and get to a European away day.
That's got to be awesome.
I might get there.
Saving my holiday days and work.
That's a must do.
I might be able to go with the work, which is great. Maybe. So fingers crossed. That'd be a great sort of development. I'd love to go away and see Celtic away for the first time. I've never done that before.
It's fun.
Just binging Succession just now. I don't know if you've started.
No, I still haven't started.
I watched the first episode a few weeks ago, but then we went on holiday. So
hooked on it, man. Season 3, unbelievable.
I've just been wrestling pilled for the minute. Just
you? How did you enjoy it?
Yeah, of course I did. It was
apart
fantastic.
From the result.
Not so yeah, but
Damien Priest.
No complaint. Right. Questions. Let's go.
I'm going to ask the Ellie Knight question first. Anthony Devine, as always in the comments or in the replies. If Ellie Knight was to be put in a feud with any current Celtic player, who would it be?
It's got to be somebody charismatic. It's got to be somebody who can match the energy that Ellie Knight brings here. I don't know.
I'm going to say Alistair Johnson, I think.
Do you know what I'd answer? That's right, Alistair Johnson. That'd be good. There's no point asking him, he doesn't have fun.
I don't speak wrestling.
He's like, what's this?
Get a reverse Montreal Screwjob.
Let me talk to you. Aye, that's it. There we go. There's your answer. Good question.
Let me have a wee look. What player, Doogie Boy 1888 says, what players do you think in our current squad just won't cut it if we are serious about Europe?
Good question.
See, it's why the ones you don't want to throw a player
under
the bus.
No, I know, exactly.
But obviously, if you want to be realistic about progressing, I'm trying to
exclusively think first team as well. I mean, starting kind of players. I don't want to say somebody like Kobayashi.
Or McCarthy.
The ones are the obvious ones, but in the starting lineup, it sounds harsh because he had a good season, but realistically, Greg Taylor.
Yeah, I was thinking that myself.
I think an argument could be made for that.
There's a significant upgrade that could probably come.
It seems harsh to know, but if we were talking about this last year, they'd be an aye.
I mean, I picked him as my player of the year. I loved him last season. But
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It sounds harsh, but if you're being realistic about taking the next step up, as Greg Taylor, Champions League starter.
It's one of those ones where Brendan Rodgers really likes his fullbacks being robust and able to get up and down the park. I know he has flirted with the thought or the idea of playing inverted fullbacks. He did try and play that at Leicester, but then I think it was Ricardo Pereira got injured and he just threw it out basically the week before the season started. Had a really serious injury, so be interesting to see if he reverts back to just playing. If he plays with those fullbacks or he just plays normal traditional ones, it'll be interesting. It's really interesting times, I think, but. You know, you still get Burnaby there as well.
Oh, aye, of course. What a
player. The Burnaby redemption
What a player.
I seen a picture of him coming in to Lennox Town training. We didn't even talk about that, about Patsy.
Oh, Patsy, aye.
Patsy actually exists.
Real. I never doubted him. No, I doubted him once.
I appear to even remember that story.
I don't remember that story. I remember the other ones, but I get reminded of that story.
Aye. I never doubted him in any story. As I said, Danny McGrain's talking shite.
Danny McGrain comes out with a statement saying, I lied.
Aye. Right, next one.
Starfelt Lover 4. That means.
Oh, remind me. I've got something to tell you after this.
Okay. Any youth players you're looking to make... any youth players yous are looking to make an impact on the first team this season? I think Rocco Vatta and Ben Summers are quite exciting.
I mean, they were sort of flirting with the first team at the end.
They're the only two that I could see realistically stepping in at any point. And even at that, I don't expect them to have a big...
Unless some of the B team players have a really good pre-season and get themselves in Rodgers' good books. But I don't know. I think there's a long way to go for the B team players.
I think it would be really interesting to see if maybe they go down the route of... I know they kind of did it with Bosun Lawal and Ben's... not Ben Summers, what's his name?
Joey Dawson.
That we maybe pay a small fee and litter them in the B team, younger players. I'd quite like to see that going forward. They kind of just abandoned that after a year, maybe for younger players, coming, maybe foreign players that are needing to get that sort of acclimatisation, but it's interesting. Matthew says, not a question, just a reminder to check the Camry battery charge.
It's fine, it's fine.
Love that the viewers actually...
I know, but it was the actual battery the last time, it was just the SD ran out of space.
Wait, what happened?
Me and Ryan were obviously doing the two camera setup, and it was fine, Ryan just said, the cameras went off, and I fixed it, I put it back on, but it was just, it ran out for a couple of minutes, and I had to check the SD, it was fine. I appreciate that.
Before I read this question, can I put an F in the chat? Everyone put an F in the chat for Kevin Twist. It's a really, really sad day for him.
Aye, because no.
Thoughts on Connor, the GOAT, Hazard, apparently going to Plymouth Argyle.
We'll always have the COVID final.
We'll always have that terrible performance by him, really, but I mean, he's done it in the penalties for us, so.
Do you think he maybe did that? He did that on purpose? Threw those two goals in just so he could be the hero in the penalty shootouts.
Plymouth,
egomaniac.
Best of luck, Connor. Mm-hmm. Best of luck.
He done quite well at that Helsinki.
He had a good season.
Won the league and there was player of the year or something as well. Paul McFarlane asks, will Celtic change their formation under Rodgers either domestically or in Europe? I think there just will be.
Feel free, take it, go, sir.
I think that this is the difference between Postecoglou and Rodgers. Rodgers likes to tinker things halfway through games. He'll tweak a formation if something isn't working right, and you need that for Europe. I think Celtic can't afford to be naive, especially in games that are on a knife edge in Europe, where you might only get one or two chances. Mm-hmm. If you've got a manager that's able to do that, to make changes that are it's going to be the difference between either getting beat or a draw and a win. Then you've
got to have that. Hopefully he's got early naivety the first spell at Celtic in the Champions League, because I really don't want to go back to any hidings, because they're too humbling, man.
Do you know what? Football formations are nonsense nowadays, anyway. I mean, what's that shite that Guardiola's played? What's that all about, a 3-2-7-1 or something? What's that?
It's just football, mate.
What is he actually plays? It's like a fucking... two at the back.
See, the thing is, this would be alright if Ten Hag played this.
No, I'm not slagging him. I'm asking a genuine question. What is it he plays? What is that formation?
He plays it in sections. He puts the pitch into sections, and there's areas that the defenders.
Oh, shit! I've heard it all.
Give me 4-4 fucking.
I know. Aye. Nah. Give me fucking fat side. None of this tippy tappy nonsense. That's what I want.
I've been converted. I'm the stats man now. I'm quite happy to be that. Stats man.
Greatest managers of all time, they didn't need fucking stats. Brian Clough, that was our manager. Mm-hmm. Show me his fucking stats.
Guardiola is the greatest and he uses stats, so there you go.
Who?
Let's get on with the questions.
Celtic FC community asks, do you expect us to break the 10 million transfer?
Yes, I think we will. I think we'll beat
I would be very surprised if we went and smashed the record by 6 million quid, mm-hmm. but I would not be surprised. I just don't think it's a pure necessity.
I feel like
it's getting made to be it needs to happen. Mm-hmm. For the right player,
Reader for 10, rising to 15, take that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to make any comments. I really don't know. Let's see how these players have these pure hyped about. I don't know.
I remember him scoring at Old Trafford, though. I watched that game. Really? He scored Old Trafford. It was his debut, I think. He scored at Old Trafford.
Henderson was in goals. It's a terrible, a attempt at a sound. So let's see if he goes with the wrong hand. But I watched that goal today, actually. I didn't even realise that was him until I watched it again. But
I didn't realise till the day either, don't worry. Mm. Right, next
Matthew
question.
Says...
Let's fly.
How do you feel about Matt O'Reilly's comments basically comparing Ange and Brendan and the lack of goodbye messages he's
people
got?
Are reading into this pish. Like, the whole... Oh, Brendan likes to come and sit with us or whatever, as if Ange was like never spoke to them. Like,
I don't know
on.
If people are hoping it's some underhand fucking sly dig at Ange or whatever, but I just think it's something that people are looking a bit too much into.
One thing I would say, I think that Matt O'Reilly is very much that sort of guy that likes his an arm around his shoulder and told that he's a good player. I remember he was talking in a press conference that I was at, he was struggling a wee bit mentally with playing for Celtic for the first time in that season. I think having somebody that will just reassure him like that, he wouldn't have got that under Postecoglou, but now he'll have that reassurance. I mean, and look at the track record.
People always make the joke, like all the Rangers fans, like, because Ange never got hugged or something.
He's got daddy issues.
Something like that.
I'm looking forward to seeing O'Reilly under Rodgers. I think it's somebody that could flourish.
I think he'll be the next Stu Armstrong.
The next James Maddison as well.
Heading to Southampton then.
That's that. Here we go. Deal done. Right, next.
Since Jota has gone, Billy asks this, by the way. Other than O'Reilly, who's the best looking player in the squad? Starfelt.
Starfelt's up there. Jacinta! Hey, poor Carol. Huh?
They were going for 2 months. What is it? Sigrist deals with it. Sigrist has got a lot worse.
Romance is dead for you, innit? God.
Literally.
Who is the most handsome? Aside from. He was a handsome guy.
Yeah, he is.
He was a handsome guy.
Odin Holmes, handsome in his own right wing way.
In his own right wing way. I'm actually going to say Odin. Because the minute I seen him in a selector, I was like, you know what? I get it.
Do you know what I like? Do you know what I like about the Odin Holmes sign? And it's just more of a humorous take on it. But we heard Postecoglou talking about how he signs people as well as players, and now the first signing that Celtic have got since he left is some right wing insult.
We'll save that for another podcast.
Jordan Peterson in the
They can get him in talk about Ben Shapiro or something.
I see that cunt, man.
Right, we'll go female.
Okay.
That's Cal. What's Cal saying?
What's the Moana at the cinema story?
Have you watched the last show?
Nah.
Right, so there was a question asked. It was like funniest thing that has ever happened to you in the cinema. And I said, I can't think anything particularly funny that's happened to me, but I tell you, Kieran Hall's got a cracker of a story. We opened a pack of Moana. Go and tell a story.
I know, so it was like...
Was it Skyfall or something?
Skyfall, so... Like, 2012, so I'd have been 12-year-old. Went to go and see Skyfall with a few of the boys, you know. And I got a packet of the Malm pinballs. So, obviously, me being me, I'm struggling up in the back row of the Cineworld at Parkhead and the Ford's and all that. Fucking, like, Kim's rang me, I'm like, I can't get these open. I'm fucking pulling, and then, boof. The full packet of pinballs. We're up the back row of this, mind you. Just goes. A pure tense moment in Skyfall as well. And for the next 2 minutes, like, it just rolls down. Then you think it's stopped, and then somebody lifts their fat up, and then you hear another sea of pinballs. I'm like, dude, I thought the fucking packet was bottomless. It went on forever. I had to go outside. I was pissing myself laughing, man.
I would have never returned to the. I would never return to the parking.
I remember going into that, and some mad woman was like, she seen a group of like six 12-year-olds going to go and see Skyfall. And like, for fuck's sake. I was like, where's she fuck's sake? No, she knew it was coming.
You ruined her viewing experience.
I think I ruined everybody's. Just hers.
Right, go on.
Eden makes a statement, or a question, why didn't Nuno choose the Ayeti card in the Jota video?
Why did they not?
Should have.
I'm reading this one. I think this should be the last one. Since we know now the old lady in our Brendan scarf, Patsy, is real, is it time we all apologise to Brendan for ever thinking he would lie? I personally cannot wait for the reveal of Clyde Tunnelman and the admission from Danny McGrain he was there in his ordinary clothes all along.
Do you know what? I tell you, I backed Brendan for day dot.
I've been gaslit again.
So listen, I knew you were telling the truth. Patsy was real, the Clyde Tunnel's real.
The Clyde Tunnel is very much
real. Well, yes, it is. Is Phil no here this week before we move on? Yes. He is. Hey, what's he saying? Get her Phil in.
He's asked 4 questions.
4 fucking hell, Phil.
You have 2.
I mean, considering there's that one as well.
I know. That seems in bad taste. I'd feel weird. You know, answer to that, man. If you go and look at your Twitter and the hidden reply, you know what I'm talking about.
Kill what's already dead.
No, you know, true. I know.
Is this the one that we're talking about?
Give me Phil.
Okay.
Get back to Phil. What's he saying?
Phil, who was the best footballer out of you three? It's definitely not me. You can just take me out of that.
I've not seen you play football.
Oh, I'm terrible.
Kale's not played in.
I make my return to Fives next week, but
hey, you got it.
I'm going to have a paramedic on standby.
They'll be the test. But, I mean, Kieran's definitely got more of the technical flair about him than I do.
St Thomas's primary best right back.
I'm more of a utility man, if you like. I'm your James McCarthy, I'd say.
Couple of games.
It's older James McCarthy, not prime James McCarthy.
Fucking utility man. Fix a boiler.
It's him that needs fixed, not everybody else.
What else is he saying? I don't wear sports goggles. Aye.
Fuck me.
What are we on?
I know I'm not living.
Oh, God, we better move.
Anymore.
Right, cheers, Phil. Good. You're a legend. Phil's been nice recently on Twitter. Eh? He keeps getting me good wishes and all the rest of it.
I think he's just happy Rogers is back, to be honest.
Nah, everybody is. Right, he's ready for the full-time quiz.
I'm ready.
Who played the last one? It would have been Callum and you. Was it me? Was somebody, was it me and you?
The last three man was you. You was doing Callum.
Okay, whatever. Right, I'm going to just, Kieran, since you're back, I'm going to let you pick who you want to go.
B.
Set two. Okay. Ryan, are you ready?
I'm ready.
I said I'm going to get a full Triple H. Right. Today's quiz, in the spirit of Brendan Rodgers returning, is a Brendan Rodgers special. So, question one, Ryan. Who scored the first goal in the league under Brendan Rodgers for Celtic?
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, for God's sake.
James Forrest.
James Forrest is correct. Good answer, by the way. Good answer.
I thought you were going to say first professional goal.
No.
Would have known that. Is that in the quiz?
No, it's not, but who is it? Who's it?
Kyle Lustig against Lincoln Redhams.
Oh, aye, of course. Well done. 1-0 Ryan to equalise. Kieran Auld. Which Scottish. This isn't a Brendan Rodgers special, he's talking shite. This is like a TSF quiz, this. Which Scottish team plays at Somerset Park?
Air United.
Yes, correct, Air United. I thought it was a Brendan Rodgers special this week. There you go. Question number two for you, McGinley. Which European finalist defeated Hearts home and away in their Conference League group?
Fiorentina.
Because he started dating, so you've not been here the last few weeks. Because it's summer and we don't ever run out of Celtic questions forever, so I've just started, you know, having a bit of fun. Talk about FIBA. 2-1, Fiorentina was correct. Kieran to equalise. Who has more caps for Scotland? Is it A, Callum McGregor, or B, John McGinn?
John McGinn.
Correct. John McGinn has 56.
Callum and Scott Brown, then.
Callum McGregor's got 53.
He's got 53.
Yep, so there you go.
He never even got called up until that Holland friendly in 2017 as well.
So there you go. That's that one. So question three for you, Ryan. God, we're cooking here. So far, all correct. Who managed St Johnstone to their cup double?
Davidson.
Full name, please.
Callum Davidson.
Yes, there you go.
Mr. Bond. Davidson.
Mr. Davidson. Hello, Mr. Thompson. So there you go. 3-2. Kieran to equalise. Name any club Malky Mackay has managed outside of Scotland.
Cardiff.
Correct. You could have went for Watford, Cardiff, or Wigan. So it's 3-3. Whoa, it's tense. Question 4 for you, Ryan. Who is nicknamed the Bully Wee?
Oh dear.
Clyde's correct. Well done. 4-3. Wow. Oh, this is a good one. This question 9.
Tingly boys.
No, sorry. Question 8, which is question 2 for you, Kieran. Who was named the captain of Hearts following the injury to Craig Gordon?
Was it Kingsley?
No, it wasn't. Oh, unlucky, Kieran. Right, do you know?
Who was it?
Lauren Shankland.
Did they get that dick of Captain Gordon?
They did. I Lauren Shankland.
But it was given to Kingsley as well, like, or Halkett or something.
This.
Jambos.
This is it.
consolidate, or to win.
secure the win.
Aye, yes. That's what I was looking for. Thank you.
You would have preferred the second question in this round, but you're sadly not getting that. You're getting the first, yeah. Which is Rangers player Sam Lammers represents which nation?
He is a Dutchman.
He is correct. Well done, Ryan McGinley. Woohoo! You're the winner this week. Gail, your question would have been: who scored the only goal in the Champions League final in 2023?
Michael.
It's pretty mad.
Oh, yeah.
I knew you'd like it. You're like City basher.
Rodri.
Aye, Rodri, correct.
Arguably my favourite player.
Was it a tiebreaker?
Your tiebreaker was: how many league goals did Celtic and Rangers score between them in the 2022-23 campaign? The answer would have been 207. I'm not getting used to the time.
I'd have just said 200 flat. Just to...
250,
so... Keelan would have won that there. No, bastard. Lucky Lon Shanklin's done you a good...
Some effort, that, though.
Good one. Well done, lads. Well done.
Thank you again for quiz, mate.
And that's us. Thank you, Kieran. Thank you, all of you, for listening. Thank you for watching. We'll be back, hopefully, next week at some point to catch up on everything that's happening in this wild transfer season.
And we thought we were going to run out of stuff to talk about this summer.
God, we're only getting started. Kieran, thanks very much.
Pleasure being back.
Ryan, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, mate.
I'll see you next time. Cheerio.